This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro plus tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
We mentioned the federal spending cuts that have been underway. Multiple programs and organizations around the country have been affected. Many of them good programs that are now losing some funding as a result of them. One of them that is potentially in danger is the St. Louis Kaplan Feldman Museum, which is the Holocaust Museum here in the St. Louis area. And to talk about it with us is Helen Turner, the Director of Education with the museum, as an emergency fundraising campaign has begun. We appreciate your time today, Helen. How are you?
Oh, hello. I am well, thank you. Thank you so much for having me on the show.
Well, thank you for joining us, Helen. And I guess to just lay it out there, how much funding is the Holocaust Museum in danger of losing, or did they lose? And what did that money go to support within the museum?
Yeah, and I think that's the most basic question, right, is what are we all talking about and what did we lose? So at the moment, on April 8th, we were notified that over $130,000 in remaining grant funds had been terminated from a project that we were engaging in. And that project was directly about digitizing survivor testimonies and interviews.
That is insane to me. So this money, this grant money, as you said, was going to make sure that Holocaust survivors, you had the funding to document their interviews, document their stories, put those into the museum, keep those, preserve those, and with one fell swoop, that money was gone. To me, that just shows that these cuts are being made without knowing,
without thinking,
without looking at what funding they're cutting. Because why would someone intentionally cut funding to preserving the story of Holocaust survivors?
Yeah, and if I may, especially right now, I mean, Missouri now has a Holocaust mandate, which means that the entire state is engaged in Holocaust memory. And the digitization of these stories is really to make sure they're accessible to everyone all across the state and across the country. So this is far more than just a regional issue.
And, it's important now, Helen, I'm assuming, because we don't have that many Holocaust survivors who are left. And as the days go by, we lose more and more of them. Is it even possible to know just how many people we have not spoken to or who have not had their histories recorded yet?
That is a great question. And we really don't know those numbers, but we know, so many people are still out there who are waiting to tell their story. And the stories that we have, you know, we really want to make them accessible. We have 140 stories that are online out of 300 total. So the work we have in front of us to make sure that these stories, these testimonies, these eyewitness accounts of the Nazi period are really important. They're essential to get online so that people can remember this history and engage with it.
And Helen, is this the work that's being done specifically by the Kaplan-Feldman Holocaust Museum, these interviews?
Yeah, so the interviews most of them were conducted years ago, and we're in the active process of digitizing them, so making sure that people can listen to them, watch them, and access them. So we're really moving them from VHS tapes onto you know, more accessible digitization. But we are deeply engaged in that work, and it's the core of what we do. We are here to preserve survivor stories. So I think this grant funding, I mean, it really hits at the core of who we are and what we do and what this community is all about.
And you mentioned that it's more than regional. I would imagine you have all of these stories, you digitize them. Is there a way then that all of the Holocaust survivor stories are able to be shared with the Holocaust Museum in D.C., the Holocaust Museum in Jerusalem, that they're all together?
And then all together, people do tend to have their own archives.
Okay.
But what we are creating is a global network. And so by being able, you know, I could be sat in my house in the UK and I could access these digital records. And I think that really creates a network around the world to share the voices of survivors, because there are so many different survivor stories, very varied experiences. And this is really just part of the collective memory of the Holocaust.
Helen Turner is the Director of Education with the St. Louis Kaplan Feldman Museum. So with these cuts happening, there is a fundraising effort that is happening now. So how are you going about it exactly, and how much are you hoping to raise?
Yeah, so we obviously this fundraising effort is emergent, and we really need people's help. And first, I just want to say people have been wonderfully supportive so far. We're about 24 hours into this campaign, and we've had a wonderful response, and we're so proud of the St. Louis community and everybody who supports us. But we're really looking to plug that hole of about $130,000. And so you can do that. You can give directly on our website at www.stlholocaustmuseum.org, and every little bit counts. You know, there's no such thing as a small donation. We really need your support, and the time is now.
So people can again go to stlholocaustmuseum.org. Let's say that the community shows up above and beyond, and you were to hit, obviously, over that $130,000. If people continue to donate, what does that funding help keep going at the Holocaust Museum?
Oh, my, what a wonderful question, and I love your dream. you know, the museum is so essential, and we are doing this work of digitization, of, you know, making sure these survivor stories are accessible. But as it says in my title, I'm the Director of Education, and the big thing that we do is we welcome students from across the region through our museum doors, and we have never been more busy than we are this year. With the Holocaust mandate going into effect for the state, we need support to make sure we can welcome every visitor who wants to come to our space. That means the public. We have exceptional public programs. It means students. And the work of the Holocaust Museum, we are just getting started.
So this museum has been around for a very long time, and it has continued to grow. What, you know, as Amy said, if this funding happens now, and then in the future you're going to be looking for more and more funding, where do you expect expansion of the museum to go from where we are in 2025?
That's a phenomenal question. And actually, you're asking us on the perfect kind of timing, because the museum is just coming up on our 30th anniversary. We've got a big birthday this month. And when I think about where we've been, you know, starting off as a smaller department of the Jewish Federation, which we're very proud of that partnership and so grateful to them for making us the organization that we are. But to see where we are now, you know, we're a beautiful museum. We welcome students from across the state. But in truth, you know, I think the sky's the limit. We want to be a regional powerhouse. We want to welcome everyone through our doors. And we really want to show that we are here to stay. We are here to tell these stories. And I cannot wait to see where we go in the next 30 years. I would like us to get bigger and better and bolder in what we're able to do, and really make sure that we're accessible to every single Missourian and Midwesterner.
And people should note, too, they can go to stlholocaustmuseum.org. You guys have extraordinary events as well, guest speakers who share their stories, and that people can go support the Holocaust Museum, but also maybe attend a very special event.
Yeah, and we actually have a very important commemorative event. It's called Yom HaShoah, and it's the Day of Remembrance, which is happening on April 27th. At Temple Israel this year. And we will have a Holocaust survivor speaking. And I think, you know, if there's a more important time to pay attention to that memory and what we're doing here at the museum, there's no better event than our Yom HaShoah event. And you can find all that information on our website.
And the museum is generally open from 10 until 4:30 on Wednesdays through Sunday, correct? You're off Monday, Tuesday?
Yeah, Mondays and Tuesdays. We actually close to the public to make sure that we can give our full attention to our students. But any other day of the week, we really want people to come in. You can visit our permanent Holocaust exhibition, our special exhibition, The Artist Who Captured Eichmann, and the Impact Lab, which is a great space to make connections to today.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, such a special time, not only because of the 30 years, correct, the 30th anniversary,
mm-hmm.
and
yes.
And also with it being Passover and being top of mind, Friday night, celebrated Passover with a friend at her house, and how special that was for her and her family, and to be able to celebrate that here. And it's so important to remember those who were not able to celebrate without being persecuted.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think it's a reflecting time of year. It's a time of year to think about freedom and liberation, but also about where the Jewish people have been and also where they're going. And so I think that's also why this grant cut hurts a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
But also I think it's really helping us kind of digging our heels in and saying, no, we are here to stay.
Just to go back to the cuts, or to this specific cut that is affecting your museum, is there any chance, I don't know if you've had any sort of communication with the government about this, that maybe they backtrack on this? Because there have been some programs they have cut or people they have cut and then said, oh, wait, hold on, we need those people, and then have gone back and rehired them or whatever. So has there been any communication in that regard that maybe they go back on this particular cut?
You know, Chris, I tend to consider myself an optimist, and I would like to believe that, but all indications would point that is not an option at this point in time. If it were to change, we'd be very grateful, and we'd be willing to work with anybody who will work with us on that level. But at this moment in time, that doesn't look like an option.
Well, okay. Well, hopefully they do.
Do they even know it was cut? You know, who knows?
I don't know.
Who is up there making this decision?
Does it seem chaotic from your end, or do you feel like this is pretty clear cut and you understand exactly where you stand?
I mean, you know, speaking quite frankly, you know, we got very pointed emails delivering this information to us. There really was not, it was not a conversation, and there was very clearly no wiggle room. And other museums have also received the exact same messaging. Everyone's getting a very formulated email. It's extremely clear language. There is no option for conversation or any kind of negotiation, which is quite frankly very disheartening.
I'm assuming.
I'm
wondering if it was an AI message.
Possibly.
It's insane.
Grok
to me.
Probably wrote it.
Who write? This is mind blowing. We're sorry that we're
yeah.
We're like kind of astonished right now. So,
You and me both. I think this has taken everybody by surprise, and I think, I think we're all trying to react in the most level headed way, always keeping the museum at the forefront.
Mm-hmm.
But really understanding, there was no negotiation moment with this email, and we'll see what the future brings. Again, I would like to remain optimistic. But I have no mystery in where we sit today.
Well,
hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover, all for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code MAN at checkout. That's harrys.com, code MAN. Enjoy.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Helen Turner, we do wish you the best of luck here in the fundraising. Again, stlholocaustmuseum.org is the website. Helen is the Director of Education with the Kaplan Feldman Museum. Thank you very much again for joining us today.
Oh, no, thank you so much. I so appreciate your time and your incredible partners and supporters, and just giving us voice is really helpful. So thank you so, so much.
Thank you, thank Helen. You. That is Helen Turner with us. It would just be, I guess, easier to swallow if you felt like this was done with surgical precision and not with a chainsaw. It's very off-putting. And I know there are people who are cheering all of this on that, yes, we need a cut, we need a cut. Yeah, okay, fine. But maybe they should think through some of these things first.
The pointed emails is jarring. And, I mean, it's weird that I almost hope that it's AI, because imagine being the person crafting an email to a Holocaust museum that you're cutting the funding to digitize the deteriorating VHS tapes that contain Holocaust survivor stories. And again, none of this matches up. There's a Holocaust mandate in the state of Missouri, as she said, that you're teaching it, you're making sure you're preserving it for future generations. It seems rather contradictory to have that and cut the funding. But yeah, Ron, as you said, as everyone said, government efficiency is a great goal.
Sure.
But when you
that's
take
not what they're
a
doing.
Hacksaw. And I, for me, like, you know, the Holocaust Museum, and again, I keep going back to Meals on Wheels and the great work they do. The people, I mean, and too, like, these World War II veterans, right? So many veterans, Vietnam veterans, veterans of the Korean War, grandparents relying on Meals on Wheels, and to have the funding be cut at a time when 1 in 3 Meals on Wheels programs have a waiting list because they're already underfunded. It's heartbreaking to me and frustrating that do they even know what they're cutting?
There isn't a single person who's not on board with the idea of more efficiency, but it isn't efficient. It's terribly inefficient to cut a bunch of programs or employees and then figure out later, oh, man, maybe we need those people. Or maybe we needed that program. That was stupid of us. And then for the guy who's the architect of it to say,
well, we're going to make mistakes. Yeah, well, try not to make the mistakes first. If you would do a little thinking first, maybe you wouldn't make the mistake.
Anyone who's ever built
this
something.
Isn't hard. This really isn't difficult.
Measure twice, cut once is the most efficient way to go.
It's Chris and Amy on KMOX.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.